Good morning. Why don't we stand together? We'll get ready to worship, but let's just enter in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. I praise your holy name this morning, God. Lord, as we sit here and we, I'm just in awe of who you are and of what you've done for each one of us here. Father, we do not take that for granted. We want to just lift up your holy name this morning, Father. Give us a joyful heart, a glad heart of the salvation that you've given to us, Father. Father, bring us remembrance of the greatness of you. I pray, Father God, that we would lift up praise to you this morning. And I pray, Father, that it would be pleasing to you, edifying to the body, building up one another, Lord. But also just pray for you. We praise you, Father God. We just want to come into your presence. Holy Spirit, have your way in this meeting, Lord. We want to glorify you, O God. Lord, we need you and we love you. Father, you are amazing. And we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get ready to worship him.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. And I was breathing but not alive. And all my failures I've tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I like you. You call my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Think of these words.
I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, but you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name, I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Praise your name, God.
Praise your holy name,
Lord Jesus. We praise you, God. You're so
I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough.
Praise God.
You came along, put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountains is the God of the valleys, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Oh, there's nothing.
Lord, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can.
Amen. Turn grace.
You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. Turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you.
How true is that word?
Oh, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can.
Amen.
You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can.
Let's sing that again. Let's sing it. oh.
Yes. I want you guys, let's think about this.
How many of us know that there is nothing better than Jesus? This world tries to offer us so many things that fall short of the glory of God. And Lord, we want to lift up this chorus to you, Lord. And we want to praise you, God. And we want to show you, Father, that there is nothing better than you. There is nobody that can fill that hole in our hearts, Father. Father God, we worship you, Father. We praise your holy name, O Lord. Father God, I am thankful, Father, that you have changed this man and that I am a new creation, O God. That we can go out and we can proclaim with confidence, Father, the risen King, Jesus Christ, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. You are worthy to be praised, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you would bring a recollection and a remembrance of how good you are, Father God. Oh, Lord, I pray, Father. If somebody's struggling this morning, Father God, remind them of who you are. Remind them of what you've done on that cross, Lord. Remind them that you have overcome the world, Jesus. That we should fear not, that you hold the world, that you breathed into existence, this entire universe, and you know every hair on our head. Whom shall we fear? Not the one that can take our life. We fear only the one that can take our life and our soul, Lord. Father, give us a holy fear of you this morning. Give us a reverential awe of you this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. Let's sing that. Just our voices.
Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Sing it again.
Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you, God. Lift up praises to his name. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Speak out praises to his name. He is worthy, isn't he? He is worthy to be praised this morning. Father, our rock and our redeemer, Lord. Yes, Lord. Alpha and Omega, Father. Yes, Lord. We praise your holy name, Father God. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you. Yes.
Isaiah 61:3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we lift up our sister, Father God, and we ask you, Lord, let her find her rest in you, O Jesus. Father God, you are, Holy Spirit, you are the comforter. Comfort her now in this time. Comfort her family in this time, Lord. And Father, we believe that you are a healing God. Jesus, you still perform miracles every single day. And so, Lord, we ask you, as she sits at home, Father God, I pray for Julie. And I pray, Father, we come together as a body When one is hurting, we are all hurting, Lord. And Father, we ask for Julie right now that you would just heal her in the name of Jesus. Comfort her. Renew her mind, Father. Give her a supernatural just peace in the midst of the trial, Father. And be exalted, O King. Yes, Jesus.
I approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I bring, but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King. I will give to you my burdens as you give to me your strength. Come and fill me with your spirit as I sing to you this praise. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed I chose. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy I see. By your love I am accepted, 'cause you're the good and gracious King. Oh, the grace that you would see me as your child and as your friend, safe, secure in you forever. I'll pour out my praise again.
Amen.
You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy. You're the good and gracious King. Holy, holy, Lord Almighty, good and gracious, good and gracious. Holy, Lord Almighty, good and gracious King.
Sing it out.
Holy, holy, Lord Almighty, good and gracious. Holy, holy, Lord Almighty, good and gracious King. You deserve the greater glory. Come and lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy I see. By your love I am accepted.
You're a good and gracious King. You're the good and gracious King. You're the good and gracious King.
Sing it again.
You're the good and gracious King. You're the good and gracious King.
Yes, Lord. Hey, Justin, can you put up that you deserve the greater glory again? Just sitting here as I'm singing and hearing everybody sing, it's just this overwhelming thought of just how glorious God is and how not we are. I just want to sing out praise to him again. He deserves such a greater glory. Jesus, you deserve everything that we can give and so much more, and yet you delight in the praises of your people. Boggles my mind, Lord, but I just want to sing to you, God. I just want to sing that out, that you deserve the greater glory, Lord. Sing it out.
You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I see. By your love, I am accepted. You're a good and gracious.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Love you. Hold us in your hand,
God, you're so
Lord.
Good. Love you, Jesus.
We exalt you, Jesus.
God,
we lift up your holy name, Jesus.
We praise your name.
We praise that beautiful name.
We worship you, God.
That name that took on sin for us, Lord.
We worship you.
The name who didn't deserve it, but who willingly went to the cross for us, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you for that name. We thank you for the name that every knee will bow and that every tongue will confess that you are God, that you are the King, Lord. We thank you for the name, Lord, that people will, when you enter back into this world, Father God, that people will not have a choice. They will have to bow under the weight of your glory, Father God.
Oh, God, we worship you. Thank you, Jesus.
We praise your holy name, Jesus. We praise you for the love that you have for us and for the love that you continue to have for the lost world, that not one should perish, but that you wish that everyone would come unto repentance, Father. We pray for that lost and dying world now this morning, Father. We pray for the dying world in Kenya, in Africa, in Europe, in Asia, in China, in Russia, but we pray for it right here in Racine, Wisconsin as well, Father God. Those who are lost, Father.
Yes.
Those who need you, Father God. Those who have walked away from their faith, Father God. Those who have lost, Father, that have left you, Father God. Those, Father God, who don't know you, who have never known you, Father God. Jesus Christ, make yourself known in the Muslim world, Father God. I pray, O Lord, that you would give them visions and dreams, Father.
Yes, Lord, that they would come to you, Lord.
Father, I heard that this morning, Father. Muslim people, they ask for visions and dreams from their God, Lord. But you are the only God. You are the one true God, and Lord, you give them visions and dreams. You show them that Jesus Christ is the only way. 100%, not 99%, Lord. Let us give everything to you, because to follow you, Lord, is far greater than any riches that we can have here on earth, Lord. So Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this time of fellowship, for this time of worship. We thank you that you have called your house a house of prayer, Father, that we can come directly to you, that that veil has been torn, and that we do not need anybody else. We can come straight to you, Jesus, that you can intercede on our behalf, O Lord. So we thank you for your truths and your word. We thank you that your word is truth, because Jesus, you are the word. Lord, we love you. And we praise your holy name. And it's in Jesus' name that we say, amen.
Amen.
The Bible says there's no other name by which we can be saved other than Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through him. And the Bible gives us some great promises. It says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins, tell me the rest, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible also said, as many as receive him, to them he gives the power to become the sons and daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. Those are powerful truths this morning, and that's what we just sang about. We sang about the grace of God that changes lives and transforms us forever. And before we hear from some brothers and sisters that are on the front line doing this work in Kenya, and before we study just a little bit later, I want to just give a couple announcements. If you have a bulletin, you can see these, but tonight we're going to gather together 6 o'clock just to have a time of rewinding what we studied this morning and what we hear from Fred and Holly and what we see from the Word. So I want to encourage you, come out for that. It's about an hour and a half just to gather. It's a great time of fellowship. To be together and talk about God's Word. Also, you see announcement about children's ministry. If you are able to serve and help out in this really important ministry, especially throughout the summer, not only with Children's Church, but with Nursery, Take Five, if you would contact my wife, we would be grateful for your service. And one other thing, Thursday night prayer. We had a wonderful time Thursday night just calling on the name of the Lord, and that's a great midweek boost. We all need that. Just to gather in the presence of the Lord and hear from him. So 6:30 Thursday night, be here for that. All right, kids, have the kids already left? Kids are still here. Go away, kids. No, I'm just kidding. The kids are going to go learn about the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to ask Jamie Connulty to come up with Fred and Holly, our special guests this morning, and let's hear what the Lord is doing throughout the world. Praise his name.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody, and thanks, Pastor. It's really a privilege and an honor for me today, and it's very personal, as I'm about to introduce the Okoth family to you and have them come up here. These aren't just people I kind of know about. These are people Maureen and I and a lot of our kids have known for a while and are very blessed by. These are the kind of people that you call dear friends, and you mean it when you say it. We've gotten to know, Maureen and I lived in Pell Lake, Wisconsin, before we moved back to Racine. In kind of the early 2000s, and across there we met this young lady youth pastor who at the church down the road. And even though we were not full-time members of that church, we went there once in a while when weather or whatever, and our kids sometimes went to youth events. But Holly became an incredibly dear friend to our family. I don't know if you guys know this, but sometimes there's people in church world who will, you know, they'll minister to people as long as it's part of their congregation. Holly doesn't, and Fred don't care who it is. They just want to minister to people. And she was such a blessing to us when we went through some trials with different things that were going on and became a dear friend to us. Very dear. And then across the way, Holly always had this missions-mindedness, and so she would take trips, I think it was annual, to Kenya. And along the way, she met this great guy named Fred and over in Kenya, and they eventually got engaged and got married, and over the course of time, we've gotten to meet Fred and just love his heart. Fred is just the sincere man of God. He loves the Lord. He's a man of integrity, and it's been a real privilege for us to get to know them. So I just wanted to just welcome them today. I'm going to ask them to just stand up first. We're going to watch a video in a minute, but I'm going to have them stand up. So this is Fred, Holly, Lucy. Their two daughters, Lucy and Eliana, are here today as well. So we're just very blessed to have them. So we're going to watch a short video, and then I'm going to hand the mic to them and let them come up and just speak to us today and share their hearts.
Jambo, welcome to Good News Miguena Academy.
My name is Holly Okoth. Welcome to Good News Miguena Academy. I'm a missionary with Good News Kenya, and we started this school in January 2020 with only 20 students. A year later, we have over 65 students in three grade levels. We look forward to adding on 8 classrooms behind us, as well as an early childhood developmental education center in the corner over there. This school is a pillar of hope in this community. Miguena Village did not previously have a private school that had the resources of teaching these children with the tools that they deserve. We're able to give them the resources to expand their creativity, to ignite their imagination, and to make a difference in this village. We hope that you will partner with us.
My name is Milka Nekesa, the school manager. Our vision is to nurture knowledge, wisdom, talent, and faith. In the aspects of faith, we want our children to understand, to know more about God, and to be role model outside there in the community. We want them to grow, to be like Christ. So we have a theme each term, and this time we are focusing on the theme about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And our kids love it very much. They want to know the attributes of God. They want to know who God is. And each and every time, we want them to know and understand the characters of God.
My name is Pastor Fred Okoth. I am the director of Good News Academy. Growing up in Kenya, I know firsthand the challenge it is to find a quality and affordable education in a rural setup. As the director, I am proudly saying that Good News Academy gives parents the assurance that their child will get the best they deserve. Prayer that you will consider standing with us to help us begin the second phase in May 2021. Our phase two goal is $40,000, and it will add the 3 nursery classrooms, teacher's office, and expand our playground and provide learning resources. Take a step of faith with us and let us join hands across the world as we make a difference in Miguena Village, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. How are you doing? Wow, what an honor to be here with you this morning in such a beautiful place. I like this place. I feel the presence of God is all over this place. As you are told, my name is Pastor Fred Okoth, and this is my wife, Harley. We have two daughters there, Lucy, who is 14, and Eliana, who is 6 years old. Together, we've been serving in Kenya for 9 years, and I serve at a church called Good News Community Center. That is in Kenya. And we've been seeing the goodness of God since we've been there. And in addition to that, in our church, we have the fundamental, the three pillars in our church. One, we have the church. I pastor a church of 150 people. And what I do is just, you know, discipling people, because in Kenya, the main religion is Christianity. But having Christianity being the main religion there, since we have different tribes, so you find that sometimes, or most of the time, the cultural practices and beliefs play a center stage. So as a pastor, my work almost every week is, you know, to bring these people together and to teach them the word of God as far as the truth is concerned, we are from the word of God. And then also I do counsel and do have office time to talk with them, to counsel them, to pray with them, also hospital ministry and even school ministry. In addition to that, we have a sponsorship program of 75 children. And this sponsorship program is being directed by my wife, who is together with the school manager, the lady that you saw there. They are working close to make sure that these children get food each and every month, and also they are being educated in good schools. And then again, we provide them with healthcare whenever they are sick. Again, we have the widows group. We have widows of about 60 widows. They are all women, and they are in the village where the school is. And it is really, really good, good group. We work with them, and we have really taught them on how to be self-sustained, you know, in some activities that generate income. So it is really, really doing well. And I thank the Lord for that. Thank you very, very much.
So when I knew Jamie and Maureen first, when I lived in Pelake before I moved to Kenya, I was probably between the ages of 20 and 24 years old, and I had been traveling to Kenya every summer, and I just had a heart for missions. And as I was a youth director at our church, in my office, I had blueprints in my window. And these were blueprints of an orphanage that I wanted to build in Kenya. And I knew the closer I got to graduating college, the closer I got to fulfilling that dream. This was a prayer that I prayed for over 10 years, that we would be able to open an orphanage in Kenya. So after serving in Kenya for 6 years, our ministry, Good News Kenya, was about to receive a huge donation of $25,000. And this donation, it was going to be able to kick off our orphanage. We were finally going to be able to start the structure of building this orphanage. We believe that God had answered our prayer of over 10 years. However, as we got closer to receiving this donation, the donor had bought a house, and he was going to flip the house and then donate the proceeds to our ministry. So we had some time between knowing about the funds and receiving the funds. And as he worked on the house and got closer to being finished, our hearts just really became troubled. And you know when you're in the presence of God and you just don't feel at peace. And that is how Fred and I felt about starting this orphanage. And we asked God, like, we've been praying for this. You are about to answer our prayer. But instead, God didn't answer our prayer, but he changed our hearts. When we started to look around our sponsorship program, like Pastor Fred said, we have 75 children that are sponsored. And most of these children come from vulnerable situations. Most of these children only have one parent that is alive. A few of these children have no parents that are alive. But all 75 children in our sponsorship program, they have one parent or a relative that is willing to love and to raise them. However, if we said, tomorrow we are opening an orphanage, almost all of these parents and guardians would bring their children to our orphanage. Why? Because it would secure them education. They would be able to eat 3 meals a day. They would have a chance at a brighter future. This might seem uncomfortable for us because we think that certainly giving your child up is not loving your child. But they would be willing to make this sacrifice at the opportunity to break the chain of poverty that has been passed down from generation to generation in their homes. As this became clearer to Fred and I, we didn't believe that opening an orphanage was what God was calling us to do. One day we were interviewing Jackie, and Jackie was a 4-year-old girl at the time, and we were interviewing her and her mom, and she was about to be accepted into our sponsorship program. And Jackie's mom, she was specially challenged. She was also HIV positive, and she had married an older man, and together they had one child, sweet Jackie. And as we interviewed Jackie, we said, Jackie, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you like to eat? What is your favorite thing to play, Jackie? At the end of the interview, Jackie's mom looked at us. She was so embarrassed to say this, but she said, please don't take Jackie away from me. And our hearts broke that moment, that Jackie's mom truly believed that we could take Jackie away from her. And Fred and I, we broke, and we assured Jackie's mom, we will not take Jackie away from you. But instead, we will enable you to love your child and care for her and provide her basic needs, all while she remains in your home. Similar situations like this really started to have an impact on that big dream and vision of having an orphanage. Is an orphanage really what the community needs? Is this best for the child? Is this best for families? We have been praying for oh so many years. But is this God's will? As we prayed, as we were quiet, and as we listened, God imprinted on our hearts that the best way to help our community is to come alongside them by helping provide Christian, affordable, and quality education, all while they remain in their home. So as you saw in the video just now, in January 2020, we'll just forget what the rest of the things that happened in 2020 for a little bit. But in January 2020, Good News Kenya opened Good News Academy. We decided as a ministry that we wanted to preserve families, that we wanted to invest in Kenya's generation by giving them the very best that they deserve. God, a family, and an education. And not having to choose one. So when you support and when you pray for Good News Magwena Academy and Good News Kenya, you aren't only helping us to build a classroom or to help provide a desk for a child in need, but you are supporting a family. And you're supporting that child staying with that family and getting a Christian education. This, we believe, is the heart of God. And now, this is the heart of Good News Kenya. God changed our heart and our prayer. And as he changed our prayer, he ultimately blessed his work. Now we love to say that Good News Magwena Academy is this strong pillar of hope in Magwena Village. Our school is growing much faster than we ever imagined. And this rural community in Magwena Village is also saying that God has been faithful to answer their prayers by providing them with quality education in a place where there was none. Even though changing our vision from an orphanage to a school was kind of an inconvenience, and to be honest, to stand in front of you, you've never met us before, and to tell you, I moved to Kenya when Jamie said he met us, and I was wrong. I was wrong. It's humbling to be able to come forward in front of you and say, God's plan is always best. We were able to see God at work still today.
There is a story in the book of Matthew 14. Let's begin to read verses 13 up to 20. It is a story that all of us, we are well conversant about. It's Jesus Christ and his disciples feeding 5,000 people. It's a story that is really fascinating on how God can do a miracle out of the few things. You know, I will just take some bits and pieces from the scripture. I want to imagine that when the disciples of Jesus Christ, they saw this huge crowd, their hearts were troubled because they only have two fish and five loaves of bread. They were like, how are we going to feed these people? Their reaction at that time was to send these people away. Because these people are huge. We have only two fish and five loaves of bread. How are we going to feed them? But Jesus Christ, say, but Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ challenged them and told them that let them come. Let them come. For Jesus had a better plan. Yet the disciples did not see it. And then, when the disciples turned their fear into faith in Jesus Christ, they saw how God did the greatest miracle in front of them. They saw the great provision of God to his people. And what they saw, I mean the people, the huge crowd of people at that time, it was an inconvenience to them. But Jesus Christ, God the Savior, changed that. And by the end of the day, each and every person was happy. Each and every person was celebrating. I want to say that even us, as she said, when we were just coming to the U.S., our second phase was to cost $40,000. And now we are coming to America. And with this heavy heart, we're saying, will we be able to raise this? Just like the time of Jesus Christ and his disciples. This is impossible. Fred and Harley, can't you see? Last year it was not good. Due to COVID, shutdown, jobs were lost, something like that. And now 40,000. But I want to tell you that God is faithful. He's so faithful. I want to tell you, and I'm standing here before you, declaring that our God is faithful. In 2 weeks' time, when we were just here beginning to share our vision and the face, I mean the things that we wanted to do into the school, in 2 weeks, God provided 40,000. And we looked at each other and like, is it true? Is it true? And then in me, there was a voice that was telling me that, you know what? That's a slap on your face. Because kind of you never believed that this could happen. And even when we were praying together, like she said that, you know, we wanted to have an orphanage. We never had that feeling. It's like, God, what are you saying? I mean, like, you wanted us to have a school now. How will it be? But by the time we took our faith, we took all our plans and we say, okay, God, we are bringing this to you. Give us a new one. We have seen the faithfulness of God up to today. God providing for this school. And right now, I want to tell you that God has done tremendous things towards the school. God has gone above and beyond. And right now, the second phase is finished. And we are jumping on to the third phase of construction.
We doubted, we had fear, but God wanted to amaze us with his miraculous provision for his people. Remember the story I told you a few minutes ago about 4-year-old Jackie? Jackie is now almost 7 years old. As a matter of fact, she's still part of our ministry, still sponsored, and she was one of the first class of students to attend Good News Maguena Academy. However, in November 2020, Jackie's mom, she tragically passed away. And just less than 2 months later, right before she started school at Good News Maguena Academy, her father also passed away. We remember Jackie's mom's original request, that she would remain in her loving family. God, how could we do this now with no family member alive? And we did not build an orphanage. We built a school. So we prayed and we thank God that he provided a loving aunt who is willing to love and to raise sweet 7-year-old Jackie. And this aunt is able to do this in large part because of the support of the sponsorship program in our school. Jackie's aunt knows that Jackie has a loving teacher, a classroom full of friends, and that they both have the love of God that surrounds them. Jackie's story is just another example of God feeding the thousands with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And it is a vision that God has given Good News Kenya to expand this hope by making more room in our school for more Jackies. Because as heartbreaking as Jackie's story is, we know that there's more out there. There's more Jackies. There's more children that are facing these challenging situations, and they need the love of God. And that's why we know that God had provided before we could even get on our knees. Because he wants to make a place, a shelter, and a refuge for these children. A place where they can grow and that they can break the chain of poverty in their family. We are going to expand our school to make more room for Jackies.
As the disciples, after Jesus Christ had done this miracle, and when they were looking forward, I mean, like, you know, after the miracle of Jesus feeding 5,000, I believe and I know that they realized and they came to understand the goodness of God to his people. God will never let his people down. And I want just to read a verse here, the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 20. The Bible says, "So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained." The Bible says that they ate and they were satisfied. They were full. And in addition to that, they were able to collect 12 baskets of fragments. I want to tell you that as people of God, sometimes we have difficulties in our lives. Sometimes we reach a point whereby it's like we are hitting a wall. A challenge comes that is really overwhelming, whereby you ask God, "Where are you? God, are you really there?" But in a twinkle of an eye, God does a miracle. And he leaves you with a mark that will remind you that I, the Lord, I was there with you and I did this. The disciples went home with 12 baskets. Just like I told you before, that we had a goal of raising 40,000. But God provided 60,000 plus. So out of our own fear right now, we can smile and say, oh God, you are amazing. You deserve the highest glory. The song was saying there was someone like, you deserve the highest glory. Yeah? Yes. He deserved the highest glory. And by what the Lord has done, it always reminds us as a family of this song that says the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Thank you.
You know, you can tell as we studied the book of James. Yeah, don't go away. As we study the book of James, you can tell a lot about somebody by what you hear and what you see. Here's what we heard. This man and woman of faith, right? They love the Lord. They prayed. They talked about Jesus. They're a man and woman of the word, right? Shared word that was encouraging. They were not scared to follow the leading of the Lord. And as we're going to see in just a minute, in a short study, they followed the open door that God provided. In just 10, 15 minutes, I learned all I need to know about them, right? Because their integrity and their character and their heart for the Lord came through. And we don't have to doubt that. I already feel an affinity with them. I haven't even met them yet. I didn't get to meet them before the service. So it's a joy to be able to pray for them. I pray we're going to be able to partner with them and support that work. But praise the Lord for this man and this woman and for their family. Let's thank the Lord for them. Jamie, Tony, would you guys come up, our elders? And I want us to pray for their ministry and pray encouragement over them. Jamie, I'm going to ask you to lead us. And why don't we stand and do what we always do? Let's put our hands out because we're going to be laying hands on them. And you can be part of that as our congregation. We're all one body. So let's ask the Lord to just encourage them, increase their faith, and continue to support this work of ministry. God bless you.
Amen. Lord, we do just thank you for Fred and Holly, Lord God. We thank you for the grace of God on their lives, Lord God. We thank you for calling them with your living voice, Lord, to follow you, Lord God, to participate and partner with you, Lord God, in all that you want to do, Lord, in Kenya. We're thankful, Lord. We pray for Kenya. We pray for the rural area they live in, Lord God. We intercede for it that you will continue to open doors and give them favor with God and man there, Lord God. We pray you'll continue to give them favor with the community, Lord God, and that the community would continue to stand in awe at the goodness and faithfulness of God to provide this school, Lord God. We pray that phase 3 is going to go amazing and you're going to provide. We pray, Lord God, that you are going to bring more children, more workers. Lord, that you're going to minister not only to the children, but through the children to moms and dads and aunts and uncles and grandparents and cousins, that you're going to reach many there for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God. Lord, I ask you to bless them. I ask you to meet every need within them, Lord God. I pray you'll be their healer, their provider, their strength, the one who guides them, the one who directs them, Lord God, the one who gives them vision, Lord God. We pray for unity among them at Good News Kenya, but also with others who are partnering with them, Lord God, that there be an amazing spirit of harmony and oneness to just come together, Lord God. So we just pray blessing over them, Lord God. We pray the enemy's schemes would never succeed, that they would be thwarted, that the strategies of the devil would be stopped, but the purposes of God would prevail, and that you would receive glory. Bless my brother, bless my sister, bless their beautiful daughters. Lord, bless this family and continue to bless Good News Kenya. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Amen.
There is an opportunity for you after the service to meet Fred and Holly out in the lobby. They have a table set up with information about their ministry, and that's exciting. I'm so grateful that they are here. I want to just take a couple minutes. I promise not to preach as long as usual, but would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16? It's been such a blessing to hear about their ministry, and I want to just come to this passage for a couple minutes because I really believe it will complement what we just heard. Now, just real quick background, we know from studying Corinthians before that there were a number of issues that caused Paul to write multiple letters of them. Apparently, there were three. We only have two in the Bible. But the body of believers there was sharply divided. They were proud. They were selfish. They were judgmental. They were arguing about who had the better spiritual gifts. They had lawsuits against each other. They were using their liberty and their freedom in Christ to do whatever they wanted without concern for anybody else. It was a mess. And the reason Paul writes chapter 13 about love is because this church was lacking in love. There was no love there at all. And because it was such a mess, as Paul writes, and as we read through 1 and 2 Corinthians coming up soon in our reading through the Bible, we're just going to kind of feel his angst. Like he doesn't even know where to start in dealing with all the issues that are there. So it's notable, the reason I tell you all that, it's notable that when we get to the end of this letter, chapter 16, and what is our book in our Bible, that he commends a family. After all, 15 and a half chapters of just, got some problems here, like we've got to deal with this, that he gets to the end and there's this family that apparently lived in Corinth that were part of the church, but unlike everybody else, this family was exemplary. This family stood out. He says, we got to take notice of them because their maturity and their character and their service is off the charts. So he writes to this church that was struggling, and he says, please notice these people. Now, he mentions them twice. One is in chapter 1, and the second here is in chapter 16, starting in verse 15. He says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints, that you also be in subjection to such men and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part, for they refreshed my spirit in yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. Now, again, 15 and a half chapters of admonition, pleading, encouragement, teaching, correction. He gets to the end, and right before this passage, look back a couple verses, he says, be alert, stand strong in your faith, just be strong, do everything out of love, come on, get it together. You kind of get this rallying cry like, all right, I've kind of said enough. Here's what it comes down to, get going. Kind of like he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and 4. And then he begins a sentence. Notice it. I urge you. And it's almost like Paul stops himself in the middle of his thoughts. Like, I'm going to say more. And then he says, no, wait a second. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to notice the house of Stephanas. You guys know them, right? Everybody knows who I'm talking about. I don't have to give you backstory on them. I don't have to explain who that is. Or other party congregation, you may not know them. And this is not a dig at the Corinthians. He's saying, I want you to be encouraged because in all the mess that's going on, there's a family there that you can look at as an example. They're evidence that faith living out is different than is present in your mess. They're evidence of what it looks like to follow the teaching of the word. Now, what was it about them that was so special, and what does it teach us? Again, we're not going to get real deep this morning because, as always is the case in Scripture, sometimes we want to take apart a passage and pull it apart and find all the little pieces, and that's always good to do. But sometimes the Spirit just says it's really, really simple. Just a couple basics here. This doesn't have to be complicated. If we will just look at what they're doing, it will teach us. So I want to just very quickly this morning give you four characteristics of the house of Stephanas. And we may be surprised how simple this is. Again, as we saw in James, the wonderful truth about living at our faith is that it is eminently practical. Unlike the Old Testament law where they had rules and rituals and you had to follow certain things to be consecrated and prepared and to make sure you were obeying. Jesus says, I came and fulfilled all that. Now you live by grace. And now I give you very clear, simple, straightforward instructions. And if we would just exemplify and strive for these four statements. If the four things we're about to see were true of us all the time, the impact of our lives and the impact of our church's ministry would be beyond anything we can comprehend. It's that simple. So let's just take a couple minutes on each one, and then we're going to pray about the opportunities before us, okay? Look at verse 15, first of all. It says they were the first fruits of Achaia. The first fruits of Achaia. Now, Stephanas and his family had the distinction of being the first people that were saved in Greece under Paul's ministry. Remember, Paul was persecuting the church. He goes on the road to Damascus to find more Christians. Christ meets him, saves him. He comes back. He meets the church. Church is a little skeptical. And then Paul is sent out to do ministry, and he takes missionary journeys. When he goes to Greece, the first family that responds to the gospel, the first family that is saved by the grace of Jesus Christ in all the people he ministered to, all the churches he established, the first family was the house of Stephanas. Now, it's appropriate that that's who it was because this word Stephanas means crown in Greek. So these were his crown. Paul says in Philippians 1, you are my crown and my joy in the Lord. In other words, every time Paul saw somebody get saved, he wasn't saying, oh, look at me now, I get a big crown in heaven. He's saying, this is a sample, an example of the victory that only Christ can give. Because we know in ancient Greece, when the Olympics, when the winner would come across the line, they would place a little wreath on his head, a crown. It was a Stephanas. So he says, it's not my victory, it's not my crown, it's Christ's crown, because Christ is the only one that gets victory. So when I look back on you, it's wonderful that your name's Stephanas, because you were the first one in Greece to understand the victory that's in Christ. And he says, now you're my joy and my crown. This family, look at it, was particularly special to Paul. He had said in chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, this is the family that I personally baptized in Athens. And Paul, to his recollection, he says in chapter 1, only baptized them and Gaius and Crispus. Paul didn't go around like John the Baptist having a baptizing ministry, even like Apollos' counterpart. Apollos baptized tons of people. That was part of the argument in chapter 1. Well, I was baptized by Paul, and I was baptized by Apollos. He says, listen, that's nonsense. We're all one body. But I'm glad I didn't baptize a bunch of you, except for I baptized the house of Stephanas. And now I've watched them. I've seen the moment they got saved. And then I've watched them develop as disciples, like children who start to grow up. You know, we're going to honor our graduates in a couple weeks. And every time I see a graduating class here at Harbor Rock, I think about who they were 10 years ago when we started the church. Little kids running around. Back at the Marriott, loving that little boardroom we had. You remember the first room with all the big, heavy leather chairs and the kids would spin in the chairs? It was awesome. And then Awana in the school way back when. And then watching them a youth group at the MC and going to the pumpkin patch and all that. I've watched these kids grow up. You have too. And now they're these mature, responsible adults. Paul says, I look at the house of Stephanas and that's what I see. They were children once, and now look at them, their example, and their fruit. Look at it one more time. We're going to move on. Their fruit was obvious. Spiritual fruit should always be obvious. It should always be evident. Like I said, and I didn't plan on saying that. That just came out of listening to them. But like we saw with Fred and Holly, the fruit's obvious, right? They're not hiding it. They're talking straight about Jesus Christ. You say, well, they're in a church. Yeah, but they're also on camera. And a lot of people would get up here and maybe not be as bold in talking about Jesus Christ. The fruit's obvious. When Jake and Annie came home from Wheaton last week, went to the grocery store, and they're like, fruit, fresh fruit. Because with COVID and all that, they've been getting fruit in containers, and it's a couple days old. And they're like, ooh, raspberries and blueberries and strawberries. So we've been eating a lot of fruit at the house. Why? Because it's wonderful and it's fresh. That's what fruit looks like. Paul doesn't give background. He just says, look at them. You know them. You know who I'm talking about. Look at them. Can others say that about you and me? Do they say that about you and me? Do they say that about us as a church? Not for our glory, just to give glory to Christ. All glory to Christ. He's the only one who deserves it. So when we bear fruit, we point people to Christ. Now look at the second thing that was true about them. They've devoted themselves to ministry. The phrase essentially means here that they put themselves on the line for the work of ministry. And ministry is a great, awesome Greek word here. It's diakonoi. Diakonoi. Diakonoi means service for the sake of service. You serve just because it's good to serve. It's not obligatory. It's not, oh, I got to do this now. It's just ministering because it's right and because it honors Christ and because it's using your gifts and because it blesses others. And that makes it a joy. One of the reasons, in fact, the only reason we diakonoi with others is to benefit them. At Wheaton, where I went and the kids go, some of the students take a position called deeks, diakonoi. It's the same word. And their job as deeks is to serve in any way that the school needs them to. So when the family comes in, they host them, they keep students in the room, they take them around the campus. They're there to serve in any way they can. When a student's struggling, you can call a deacon and they can minister to you. That's the essence of the word. That's what he's talking about here with the house of Stephanas. That's extra relevant here after listening to Fred and Holly, because the word diakonoi in Greek applies especially to ministering to those who are poor and oppressed. So I'm guessing that the students in Kenya have less than we do living in Wisconsin. Many of them don't have families. Many of them don't have parents. They're in just uncertain situations. So we're called as deeks, as servants of God, who serve for the sake of bringing glory to God, to minister to those who are poor and oppressed. A lot of ways we can serve. Some people have gifts and talents to sing and to play and to teach and to train children up in the way that they should go. That's their work up front. Some people do missions work. They're seen. Other people are behind the scenes. Those who clean our building during the week. Those who work security. Those who greet when we had greeters. We're going to hopefully bring those back soon. People who mow the lawn and keep the property beautiful. You may not even know who they are, but they're serving. People right now who are ministering to our kids and teaching them and doing crafts and giving them a snack and changing diapers and holding babies. Important ministry. I mean, just imagine what would be going on if we didn't have that. People who pray, people who offer financial support. Every person has a place in ministry. Every person has the opportunity to be a diakonoi in multiple areas, not just here at the church, but out there. And no area of service is more important than the other. 1 Corinthians 12, a couple chapters back, Paul says the body has many parts. Each one's important. Nobody works independent of the other, but everything is interdependent. So let me bring you back to that. Imagine a Sunday service. If you drove up and the property was overrun and the building was filthy and the kids were running around like crazy and there were no musicians or singers or tech people and I hadn't studied and I'm not making any sense in what I'm saying, no comments, please. What if nobody gave to support the work of ministry? No one was willing to serve even part-time. What would it be like? We take it for granted, right? You pull up, everything's ready. The lights are on, tech's going, singers are up here, ready to go. But that takes effort. Are each of us serving? If so, how often? How effectively? Are you seeking it or kind of avoiding it? When you hear the announcement, hey, we need volunteers, like, yeah, somebody else can do that. Is it service out of love for the Lord and out of love for others, or is it out of obligation? Is it a joy and fulfillment, or are you kind of annoyed by it? See, the answers reveal not only our relationship with the Lord, but our heart for ministry. But look back at the house of Stephanas, and we need to move on. One of the great things about Paul bringing attention to them is that all throughout the book of Acts, we saw the walls of division and race and class and nationality fall down like the walls of Jericho. Paul was a Jew who was a Pharisee who persecuted Christians. Then he became a Christian and a disciple, and he goes and evangelizes the Gentiles. What a picture of what Jesus did. And he was working with Aquila and Priscilla, who were Jews, and he was working with Apollos, who was an Alexandrian Jew, and he was working with Timothy, who was a man with a Gentile Greek father and a Jewish mom for his mother, and he's close to Stephanas and his family, who are Greeks in Corinth. Paul's not going, I can't be with them, they're a different color than me. I can't be with them, they're Gentiles, or they're Jews, or they live in this city, and I don't like that city. He says, look, we're one body, one word, one spirit, one Savior, one Lord. And we work together. That's what the church is supposed to look like. So Paul says, notice them, their work of ministry. We're all bondservants in Christ, we're all co-laborers in the ministry, and it's a joy to expand that, to get to know people from other parts of the world. That's why I think it's so cool, and it's why we've had this map that we're about to redo, and why I tell you, listen, there are people listening to our church every week. This week alone, I'm going to give you this again, because I want us to have a world view of what's going on here. This week alone, we've had people listening in England, Spain, Thailand, Russia, Morocco, Moldova, Libya, Ireland, Iraq, India, Guatemala, Ghana, Germany, France, Egypt, Taiwan, China, and Canada. Just this week, to our little church. I tell you that because I want you to know there are believers out there that we're connected to. And now we have the potential to be connected to Fred and Holly and to be in Kenya in a partnership with them. And wouldn't it be awesome to bless current and future believers there? To see children trained up to know the Lord and to love Him like we do. Third, look at it. They supplied what was lacking. Look back at verse 9. Paul says, a wide open door for effective service has opened to me. Like Holly detailed, we wanted to start an orphanage, and that wasn't the Lord's leading. And we thought, well, maybe we'd do a school. Listen, that's verse 9. And I hope that you and I, and as a church, we're always looking for those open doors. I know as a church, we have not done well with missions. It's my biggest regret in 10 years, and I want it to change. Why is that the case? Well, money has been tight. When you start a church, money's always tight. Some of the opportunities we had fell through. We had missionaries that we had talked to in Tunisia, but they ended up coming home before we could support them and take a trip there. I had a pastor friend in Turkey we talked about supporting, but then he retired. We did support a pastor in the Philippines. Remember, we sent Bibles to the churches there. We supported the orphanage in Tanzania. Many of you sponsored children in Tanzania and built up relationships with them, and then we had to stop that because there was some financial mismanagement over there. So it keeps coming up. We want to do more. We want to go outside Racine in southeast Wisconsin. We want to support ministry around the world. And we're going to be talking as leaders in the next couple days to see how the Lord wants to lead us as a church, to see if we can continue to bless them. What a great story. They came here for 40,000. They got 60 in 2 weeks. Well, maybe we can be part of phase 3 and phase 4. Maybe we can continue to serve and partner with them so those kids can learn not only educationally, but spiritually. Because Jesus said, allow the little children to come. In fact, your faith should look like theirs. Part of the commitment and service of being a disciple is sacrificing financially. Some people have gifting. They have the means and resources to honor the Lord and bless others that I'll never understand. But even if we don't, we have a calling to give at least 10% of what we earn back to the Lord. And as I've said many times and will say again, if we did just that as church members, not only would we never have a moment of stress about budget, but we'd have tens of thousands of extra dollars for outreach and missions. And there are other needs. Carpet, renovations, signage, a welcome center, offices. There's a lot we need to do. But if we're going to do that, we have to go against the summer trends where attendance declines and giving declines, and we just try to make it to fall. Let's make this a different summer. Rather than a summer of decline, let's make this a summer of abundance. Because the Lord leads us to do greater work, not only here, but possibly to support this work in Kenya. And that's going to come from extra giving. That's not going to come from what we're giving now. That's over and above. As verse 14 says, and let me say this quickly because I want to get to the last point. All of this, look at verse 14, all of this is to be done by love. Didn't you hear it in Holly's voice? I went to Kenya every summer and I just thought, oh, I got to go to Kenya. That's not usual from a woman from Pell Lake, right? Hey, I'll go to Kenya. Where is Kenya? And yet something stirred, right? Why? Because she developed a love for it. You know why we love things like that? Because Christ first loved us. Salvation is based on love, love that we don't deserve. Christ came and died for all, the ungodly, the sinful, the condemned. That was all of us, and His grace is magnificent, and we love Him for it. We love Him because He first loved us. Now He says you have two commandments. Love me back with all you have, and love one another. And the way we love other people is to tell them how wonderful and life-changing the grace of God is. All ministry should be driven by love. Not fame, not prominence, not selling books, not power, not money, not influence, not social media likes. That's all self-centered. All ministry should be based on love for Christ and for others because we're His faithful ambassadors and we go out to serve Him. So they supplied what was lacking. Look at the last one. They refreshed, it says in verse 17, they refreshed my spirit and yours. Here at Harbor Rock, in case you haven't noticed, oh good, it's on the screen. Thank you guys, you're so wonderful. What's it say underneath Harbor Rock Tabernacle? Tell me. Place to be refreshed. What does that mean? Well, it means that if you're an unbeliever, we want you to understand the mercy of God. We want you to understand how awesome and wonderful and life-changing it is to trust Jesus Christ. It'll change you forever. You'll go from darkness to life, from death to light. Darkness to light, death to life. You'll be changed, your whole countenance, your whole spirit, your mind will change, your nature will change, everything about you, your outlook on life, it'll all change. We want you, if you don't know Christ, if you're watching this morning, you don't know Christ, we want you to know that. That's the gospel. Christ died for your sins and rose again to offer you salvation. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And cleansing is always refreshing. Cleansing is always refreshing. If you're discouraged this morning, I want you to know that you can come here and you can be loved genuinely by other believers. You can be encouraged. You can be strengthened. We'll pray for you. We'll encourage you. We'll disciple you. We'll do anything we can to help you see the love of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. And if you're a believer and you seek to grow in the Lord, we hope you come in, and every week this is a place of refreshing, and you get encouraged, and you come in and praise the Lord. You hear people speaking out about Christ, and you see people praying, and you learn about Him through the study of His Word, and then you go home so much better than when you came. We're a place to be refreshed. Now, look back at it one more time, because I got to finish. Look back at verse 17. he says, the house of Stephanas, they've refreshed me. The word there is literally eased. Their character, their consistency, their diakonoi service, that brings calmness and contentment. Remember who's writing it. This is Paul writing it. And remember what Paul had been through. Beaten, whipped, stoned, scourged, shipwrecked, bitten by a snake, under constant spiritual warfare, under constant personal attack, hated by many people, kicked out of cities, let down in a basket, stretched thin by constant ministry. He has his own insecurities, his own trials. He's serving in ministry completely by faith and the support of others. He's having to deal with churches like Corinth who are divided and bitter and selfish. So Paul says, thank you for refreshing me. Thank you for easing all the stuff that I have going on. Corinth, listen, Stephanas and his family, they've supplied what I needed financially, relationally, spiritually, and I'm blessed. How can you and I do that more effectively every day? As we go home with our family, are we serving our spouse? Guys, that's to us. Well, she's supposed to submit to me. Yeah, notice verse 21. Right before that, it says, submit yourselves to one another. And it says to the man first, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Christ wasn't walking around going, hey, I have authority over you. Read Philippians 2. He became nothing for us, like a bondservant, to serve us. Are you serving your spouse? Are you serving your family? Are you easing their stress and their tension? Are you blessing them? At work, are you being sacrificial and gracious to people who maybe are nasty to show them the love of Christ? At church, are you stepping up to serve in any way? Ones that aren't comfortable, one that might mean you're going to have to miss a morning service. When you're teaching a preschooler, or doing a craft, or changing a baby's diaper, or you're teaching a life skill in Take 5 that some kid needs to learn. Are you willing to do that? Around the world, are we praying for other believers? Are we praying for the persecuted church? Are we offering financial support? Are we buying Bibles to churches and congregations that don't have any? Are we expanding? We're constantly exploring new opportunities as a congregation. How can we best reach and minister to our community? And the Lord has given us, I've talked about it, a vision to expand because there are a lot of people out here just in this neighborhood that need a place to be refreshed. They need to be encouraged. Look at it one more time. We're done. So much of our calling comes down to these four simple characteristics. Living as first fruits, devoting ourselves to ministry, supplying what's lacking, and refreshing others spiritually. That's not hard, right? We can all do that. Faith that evidences itself every day. So people can say, hey, you know the house of, put your name here. You know the house of Rhodes? You know the house of Stephanas? Oh, man, they live out their faith. They refresh, and they have impact. Praise the Lord. Let's ask him to help us and strengthen us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this morning. What a joy. What a joy to sing about your glory and your mercy. What a joy to sing about your salvation. What a joy to sing about your love. Lord, what a joy to hear from our brother and sister and see their precious children and hear about the work in Kenya that we hope we can partner with them. Expand their vision, Lord. Encourage them, protect them, strengthen them. They love you, and we know you'll bless that. Help us here to get an understanding of how we can refresh others, Lord, that this church would be a great place of encouragement and blessing to every single person that walks in the door. And Lord, we pray you would bring hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who are looking for answers because your word has it. Jesus, you have it. So bless us now. Help us, encourage us, and strengthen us as we go. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was sitting in my office, let me just say this before we greet Fred, Holly, and go. I was thinking, you know, the Lord gave us a metaphor for this passage this morning. It's raining. Water always represents the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. And it also produces refreshing and growth. So when you're walking, oh, cruddy day, it's raining. Turn it around. Now we go to be refreshing spirits to other people. Amen? God bless you. Go greet Fred and Holly. Have a great week.
Yeah.